It's the Truepenny Show with your host, James Truepenny.
Hello and welcome to the Truepenny Show. My name is James Truepenny. This is my show. Today we are looking at Sendai Girls from Shinjuku Face Arena in Tokyo, Japan.
On the 6th
of January, from the same weekend that we saw the BJW shows that we looked at last week. Joining me is Christy of Wrestling Sexism and New Japan Gifts. How are you, Mom?
Hi, I'm doing okay. Really.
Good. Excellent.
It's been a while since we watched the first Sendai Girls show that I ever watched, so this was fun.
Yeah, we're also going to look at some New Japan news. This last couple of weeks has been the Fantastic Mania Tour. We never do it. And again, we've missed out a live review, but Christy has notes for us from the whole 2 weeks because she is New Japan.
The whole 2 weeks, okay.
Or the last show.
The last show, at least.
And she is going to be our New Japan Fantastica Mania correspondent for today. We've also got some news to talk about in New Japan and some other big shows that are coming up in Japan as well. Because it's kind of like Japanese news roundup, but we'll start with Sendai Girls. I know you enjoyed the last Sendai Girls show we looked at, Christy. What are your impressions of this one?
This one was really good as well. I think it helped that I now knew most of the people in these matches.
That always does help, yes.
It helps. It's like you're not starting out really confused, like which person is who and what are they like and what's their whole thing, their gimmick and stuff like that. So I could just, you know, watch the matches and not be confused, which always helps.
Always a good start. So the opener, for those of you who don't know, Shinjuku Face is kind of like a nightclub and they lay out like a wrestling show. Big home for Sendai Girls. Asuka used to do a lot of her own production shows there. Oz Academy do a lot of shows there as well. So it's a bit bigger than Shinkawa First Ring that we looked at last week, but still smaller than Kurikan Hall. And it's we watched this through the Peroso Dream site, which the original broadcast was on nico.jp. So it's a one-camera shoot with color commentary, or play-by-play commentary, and it's pretty watchable. It's a lot of fun. You don't get big close-ups. It's not a big production show, but there is decent lighting for it, and it worked pretty well, I thought. So the first match was Dash Chisako. She defeated Mei Hoshizuki in 8 minutes 41. Dash, you are well aware of, I am a massive fan of Dash Chisako. She is absolutely awesome. And she was wrestling Mei Hoshizuki. Now, Mei is a rookie from the Marvelous stable. That's Chigusou Nagayo's company. And she got her ass handed to her in 8 minutes and 41 seconds. Because she's a rookie, so therefore her job for the next 2 years is to get killed at progressively less rate so that she looks like she's improved, essentially. And Dash did not give her a chance. Didn't even give her a couple of glass of water. It was quite remarkable to watch this. It was a beating. What did you think of it, Christy?
Sorry, I had to cough there. Mei was like 16, right?
Yeah.
Is like 16.
Yeah.
It was just looking at the opening, like the announcements, you could tell that this was going to be like a really, really one-sided match. That was also kind of the charm of this match. Like,
yes.
You had Dash just absolutely killing Hoshizuki, and then Hoshizuki just trying to do something. Like, she hit 200 drop kicks during the match and none of them worked.
It was the forearm. It was the forearms just looked so weak. It was just like,
yeah, it's like, I want to hit you harder, but if I hit you harder, I'm going to get killed even more. So,
Let us not delay the inevitable here. I know what's going to happen to me. The chair shots were probably unnecessary, to be fair.
Yeah.
But it's Dash, maybe. And that's what she does. And, you know, these young'uns have got to learn sometime, I guess.
Yeah, it was just so clear that Dash was in control the entire match. And whenever Mei tried something, it was like, okay, you can try something, but it doesn't hurt. So, whatever. It just did very little, her offense, which... It's kind of a story in itself, so I don't mind it. People would be like, well, you can't no-sell everything. But Dash was like, yes, I can.
This was a heroic choice.
Yeah, it was like she was playing with her food, you know, like dish Shizako. He was playing with her food. And it was just an entire match of her punishing this rookie for daring to step into the ring with her.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, she was really nice. She was like, well done, girl.
Yes.
You didn't die. Congratulations.
Helped her up and shook her hand.
Rubbed her back a bit.
In the Sendai Girls tradition of making sure rookies can leave the ring under their own steam.
Yeah. Are you not dead? Okay, good.
Yes. That was the first time. There used to be a girl called Chelsea. It wasn't Chelsea Green, who was another girl called Chelsea who used to wrestle for Stardom. And she had no indie background in the US, or minimal indie background in the US. And her story in Stardom was her trying to become a member of the regular Stardom roster, and her final rookie test was Mako Satomura.
Ouch.
And Mako just demolished her. Just like, just kick, 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 demolish, kick, kick, and it went on for about 10 minutes, and it was just like, but at the end of it, they gave her her Stardom jacket. Because she didn't die.
That's how Mako shows she likes you.
Yes, yes.
If like kicking you.
Yes, if you don't get it, if you get up, then, you know, you're in, really. Okay, so...
Wrestling.
Wrestling, indeed. And speaking of wrestling, the next match was Aiga. She defeated Hikaru Shida, Kaoru, and Sakura Hirota in 9 minutes and 36 seconds. Yes, Aiga won the match. The finish was unique, as they all passed out from kissing each other.
Yeah.
This was... right, okay, let's go. It's Sakura Hirota, okay? Sakura Hirota is one of the most gifted professional wrestlers of her generation. The only trouble is she got an injury and she couldn't wrestle, quote-unquote, properly, like in a Mako Satomura Manami Toyota way. So she figured out that comedy is the way to go. And she now wrestles for purely much just for Sendai Girls and occasionally for Oz Academy as a comedy wrestler because she's a working mum and takes the baby with her. As we discovered afterwards, she takes the baby with her to shows, and the other wrestlers must childcare for that baby in the back while she goes and does her match. And then...
And then in 6 years, she'll be a rookie in the Sendai Girls locker.
And then still dressed in her gear, she goes to the airport. She just chucks her hoodie over the top, and away she goes. There you go. That's one of the most remarkable women in professional wrestling. But it's her, and it's Aiga, so it's going to be comedy fluff. And it was good comedy fluff. Which
she had a very interesting injury as well.
Yes, her goosing finger. For those of you who have not seen Sakura Hirota before, her large part of her offense is clasping her hands together and pushing two fingers into the intimate parts of her opponents, which is one stage up from Dino, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and it left her with basically constantly showing people the finger.
Yes, essentially. And literally up yours. So her goosing finger was heavily bandaged for this particular matchup, which, you know, as we later discovered, may have been some form of ruse, because it seemed to be sparkling me more effective.
A wrestler's cheating? Never.
I wonder what was underneath that wrapping. Maybe we should get a closer look at that. But yes, Hirota, but it didn't do her any good because she lost. So the finish was, after 9 minutes and 30 seconds, Hirota kissed Shida, who passed out, then kissed Kaoru, who also passed out, and then finally kissed Aiga, and she passed out, and then Aiga landed on top of everybody, and that was the pin. Which is exactly the kind of match this was.
Yeah. It was kind of weird looking at it, because I now know Aiga, so it was kind of... I knew what to expect looking at her. And then you've got Hikaru Shida, who is so cool.
Yeah, genuine badass of a wrestler.
She just looks amazing, but wrestles a comedy match, which is... just full on comedy all the time. Like, it was really entertaining, but I also really want to see a serious match by her.
Akira Shida. Yeah.
People keep telling me she's great, but whenever I see her wrestle, she's in a comedy match, which isn't an issue for me normally because I like my comedy matches. But I would like to see her just kick some people's ass.
Well, she does also work for Oz Academy, and there was an Oz Academy show that went up on Progressive Dream last week. So maybe we've picked next week's show.
Mm, maybe.
There you go. And Kariya Kaoru is a badass. Best moonsault in wrestling despite being nearly 50 years old. And she doesn't look anywhere near 50 years old.
No, she doesn't.
No, so this was absolutely awesome.
There was also that one spot that Hirota did where she failed the suicide dive. It was just hilarious. She was hanging in the ropes and the other girls were like, oh no, get down.
It's just like, it is like watching Les Kellett wrestle, but Japanese and female and 20 years younger. You know, she is that kind of elementally comedic wrestler. She is really, really good at what she does.
She is so funny. Like, I can't understand what she's saying, but I can see the other three crack up laughing at her, so she must be hilarious.
Yeah, definitely. Right then, next up, we had something, some serious business going on. We had Aja Kong, Alex Lee, Hiroyo Matsumoto, and Mikoto Shindo. They were wrestling Cassandra Miyagi, Minami, Meiko Satomura, and Miki Iwata, get it right. The Sendai Girls team won in 15 minutes and 39 seconds of a serious back and forth wrestling match. There was a little bit of comedy between Cassandra and Aja Kong. Yes, actually Aja Kong, to start things off. But once they got going, by gum, they got going in an old school Gaia tag team style. This was awful lot of fun to watch. What did you think of this, Christy?
Ah, this was great. This was great. I was just looking at the people who were in it, and I was like, this is going to be awesome.
Yes.
Like, there are so many people I like in this match. And then you've got these two really young girls in it. One is 14 and one is 17, I think.
Yeah.
And they're in the ring with Meiko Satomura and Aja Kong. And, like, imagine being that girl. It's being like, 14 and being in that match.
It was like Minami going over for a tag while she's in the ring with Aja Kong, and Cassandra and Meiko and Mikao like, no, you're fine. Get on with it. Be all right. Don't be fine. Keep going.
Yeah, I have that in my notes as well. That one moment where she tried to tag out. Like, yeah. I was doing really well, but now please someone tag in. And they were just looking at her. No, you do it.
No, you'll be fine. It's okay.
It's just
going.
Aja Kong.
Yeah, we believe in you. It's only the scariest woman in the world. It's fine. Yes. You'll do okay.
And then there was this part of Iwata and Meiko kicking someone. And I was just looking at it thinking, this is pure goals. I want to be with them kicking people. They look so cool.
Was it Alex Lee?
Maybe. I didn't write down who it was.
Oh, no. I think it was Matsumoto because they were kicking. No, I'm trying to think. It had to be the right height because they were kicking him in the chest quite hard.
Mm-hmm. Together.
Think, yeah, it would have been Alex Lee, I think. So, yeah. But no, it was really, just really cool. Isn't Aja Kong amazing?
Like, she is. She was. Who was it? Miyagi and Aja Kong were shit talking each other, and I was just so enthralled by them. Like, these women are awesome.
Yeah.
I'm really curious what Miyagi's going to do because she's leaving.
Yeah, she has announced her retirement as a Sendai girl and is going to become a freelancer. I'm guessing Stardom is the obvious place for her to go, but it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, Oz Academy would have her like a shot for a start. Different kind of thing. I think she just wants to go and learn and do new stuff because she is a character-based wrestler, and you know, with Iwata and Dash, they can kind of stay Sendai girls forever and it won't really affect their growth because they are like in-ring mat-based straight up and down kind of grinders, aren't they? Whereas Miyagi, you've got to have somewhere for that to blossom, I think.
Yeah, for the other two, their story is becoming better wrestlers.
Yeah.
And that's not her story.
No. She's already a fantastic wrestler, by the way. It's not the technical side, but she doesn't need any more technique. What she needs is more opportunities to tell stories in different ways, which isn't really...
Yeah, the kayfabe-wise, like Dash and Iwata are also great, but their story is just achieving goals and winning titles, and that's not necessarily Miyagi's story in kayfabe.
No, so Miyagi can go find somewhere else to work and do something different, which would be interesting. Where she ends up. She might not stay in Japan, of course. You know, Women of Honor might get hold of her because they could do with somebody like Cassandra Miyagi, really.
Yeah.
And several other wrestlers.
Yeah, probably.
And someone to book the division correctly and about an extra half hour in their TV show to present it properly. But anyway,
I did have one more comment.
What's that?
I thought it was really funny that there was commentary on this.
Yeah.
And it was clear that it wasn't really professional. because at some point during this match, I think while Aja Kong was in the match, in the ring, you could hear sirens in the background. Yeah. And I just thought, this is so fitting. Like, this is perfect. Aja Kong is killing someone while in the background sirens are running.
Riots going on. Makoto Shindo, by the way, if you've not heard of Makoto Shindo, she is another marvelous rookie wrestler. Is she the 14-year-old or is she the 17-year-old?
I think she's 17.
Yeah, she's 17. And like we said, Minami, who the last time we talked about her was wrestling Ayame Sesamura for the Sendai Girls Junior title. But yeah, Makoto has been wrestling for less than a year and she's getting good headway. Chigusa Nagai outjourned some decent wrestlers. Some issues with her methods from time to time, but she definitely chucks out some decent wrestlers. And, you know, everyone in this match was working really, really hard. This is kind of a house show match. It wasn't really a major, major event, but it is just, like, so well put together and so well done. The match quality is so high. Right then, the third match and the semi-final. Only a five-match card this. The semi-final was Yamile McKenzie challenging for the Sendai Girls Junior Championship. Current champion, Ayame Sesamura, and in 12 minutes and 6 seconds, Millie McKenzie becomes the new Sendai Girls Junior Champion in an absolutely thrilling match. If you guys want to see the future of women's wrestling, watch this wrestling match, because these two are going to be good for a very, very long time. And, you know how big a fan I am of Millie McKenzie. I am a big fan of Ayame Sesamura as well. This was thrilling. It had everything a championship match should have done. It had that junior main event kind of style. What did you think to it, Christy?
First of all, I was really excited about this because, well, first of all, Millie McKenzie is in it. And second, because Sesamura is one of the women I was introduced to during the first show that we watched.
Yeah.
And I just really liked her then, so I was curious to see if she'd grown any or what she'd done in the meanwhile, because I don't regularly watch Kai Inside Dojo, where she's from.
Yeah.
So, sorry?
Yes, sorry. Go.
And I really liked the match. It's not necessarily my style of match, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It was very serious and deliberate. And mat-based wrestling, which it was all great, and they're wonderful at their job, but that's not necessarily my favorite style.
Yeah.
There was lots of trying to dislocate people's limbs.
yes, there was.
Yes, it was, which is painful to watch, entertaining, but painful to watch. You could just tell that they weren't there to be really flashy. They were there to have a good mat-based match.
Yeah.
Just twist each other into knots and try to dislocate limbs and do all that kind of thing. And not necessarily high flyers or really character-based wrestling.
No. I mean, we talk about bruiser mates like Pete Dunne and Millie McKenzie. But really, Millie McKenzie is kind of like I hate to say the female version of Pete Dunne, but she does wrestle in that very simple, straight-ahead, mat-based, ground-based, kick-em-hard style, doesn't she?
Yeah, she does. And she's really impressive, and Sesamura as well. I think Sesamura has more character. Not necessarily that Millie doesn't have personality, but I think Sesamura's kayfabe character has more character. Does that make any sense at all?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean. I mean, Millie McKenzie's a killer. That's kind of where you're going. But it's kind of difficult to get a 17-year-old girl, 18-year-old girl over as a killer, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, and Millie's character is more, I'm really this way.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas Sesamura is more of a fictional character.
Yeah, I mean, like,
in my eyes.
Millie McKenzie's character in Fight Club Pro is much more character-based, and in her character in Pro Wrestling Eve, where her and Charlie Evans are just the grotty young teenagers who are causing everybody problems, that's a different kind of character to what she's got in this kind of environment. But in this environment, she's just kind of like, she's a bit like Minoru Suzuki was when he was this age. You know, he's just, you'd kill her straight ahead. Bang,
yeah,
bang, bang.
It also probably doesn't help that she can't really communicate any character.
No, no.
Because of the language barrier and the lack of time she spends there.
Yeah, and also it's like the easiest thing to do then is just be the thing that you are good at best at, and do it really, really well, which she does very, very well. So yeah.
And I did think there was one really cute moment at the end when Millie had won and she was holding this sign.
I know what you're going to say.
And Meiko Satomura comes over quickly to tell her she's holding it upside down. And I thought that was just so adorable.
Oh. Thanks, Mom.
Thanks, Mom.
Oh, yeah, it was brilliant. Oh, it's just, yeah, it was just really, really cool. I can't wait to see what they do with Millie as this junior champion. Word out of the WWE Performance Center in the UK is that Millie turned down the WWE contract, as
Ooh,
did Charlie Morgan. That's the rumor. That's what I hear. Because it's not for everyone, is it, necessarily? And I think that Millie probably has a few more things to stick under her belt, and certainly Charlie Morgan does, before she
she's
goes
also
there.
Very young, though. She's very young to be stuck in one job.
Yeah,
I think.
For the rest of her life, and not...
Yeah, and far away from family as well.
Yeah, and I think also, I mean, look at some of the British people who have gone to the American dojo and not done anything because of one thing or another. You know, it's a big risk to take... In one sense, and also WWE isn't the land of milk and honey either. You know, it's hard work when you get there. If you love wrestling, it might not be the place for you. Because clearly she does, you know. And there's been people. I mean, Kota Ibushi's one, Zack Sabre Jr. is another one. But if you go back in time, Reckless Youth, who was one of the founders of the Shikara gym. Went to WWE, he was in developmental for a year and a half and quit in the end because he wasn't getting anywhere. And the thing he missed most was actually wrestling. He couldn't wrestle enough to make it interesting for himself. You know, he would be wrestling, he'd be going around doing pull arounds and stuff in the ring for training and things like every day, but he couldn't go and wrestle a show. And he says, you lose your edge. If you do not wrestle house shows, you do not do. And we couldn't get on, he said, I couldn't get on the cards to get there to make it work for me. It wasn't enjoyable for him anymore. You know, he couldn't go off, and he was like, he would beg them, can I go off and do an indie date this weekend so I've got some time in a ring? And they wouldn't let him. And they were like, well, what are you complaining about? You can just sit here and we'll pay you. You can be fine. You're getting like $50,000 a year for doing nothing. It's like, but what's the point? Then my career's being wasted. Why did you sign me?
Yeah, and she's really young to be in that position, if that ever happened.
Yes, they also gave him a really terrible gimmick in the end when he got called up to the main... His call-up character to the main roster was called Dick Ryder.
Oh, dear.
A homosexual manager.
Oh, God.
And they laid it out to him. And Steve Regal, who was kind of his... William Regal was kind of his mentor. They told this story on the Art of Wrestling podcast. Regal was like, you know, live with it, get on the main roster, and then change it from the inside. You know, it'll get you there. It's a pathway. Don't worry about it. And then they explained the story to him and went, I ain't fucking doing it. Which is understandable. Why should you? It's homophobic and horrible.
That's also a thing. Like, what kind of gimmick would she get?
Yeah, that's it.
What kind of women do they like? Not necessarily the Millie McKenzie type.
No. Both she is blonde and European.
She is blonde. That's the only thing she has going for her in WWE's eyes.
But they also haven't ever seen a wrestler like Millie McKenzie before. And I wonder if they know what to do with her.
But they've got the MMA Four Horsewomen right now.
Yeah, it might
and
be.
And they're a similar gimmick.
If they break the ice and make it more palatable, people like Millie McKenzie suddenly have a pathway that's a lot easier. And other people like Sonya Deville as well, and, you know, more straight ahead people that aren't necessarily the beauty aesthetic, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, but I understand why she'd wanna travel the world a bit more and grow, because it's easier to grow when you get opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, and also, I mean, it's like, you know, if she had Meiko Satomura and being a Sendai girl on the table for an extended period of time, that's awfully hard to turn down when you are in that kind of position.
Yeah.
Anywho, and also, Hayami Sasamura. I hope she has a good run in K-Dojo and comes back to do other things in Sendai Girls 2.
Yeah, she's great.
She is. Speaking of two of my favourite wrestlers, there's another two of my favourite wrestlers. Chihiro Hashimoto successfully defended the Sendai Girls World Heavyweight Championship against Sari in 16 minutes and 37 seconds. Sari, for those of you who don't know, was a trainee of the Diana Dojo. She was trained by Kaoru and she was trained by Kyoko Inoue. And I love her. She's awesome. She's a classical style wrestler in the old AJW mode, as you kind of expect if you're trained by Kyoko Inoue and Kaoru. And I've been watching her for years, and she's kind of like, she's just really good. She's got really brilliant execution at everything she does. She's kind of in the Jumping Bomb Angels mode, not kind of like the big kind of mode of those kind of wrestlers, very pure classical Joshi style in my estimation. What did you think of this matchup first of all, and what do you think of Sari and Chihiro Hashimoto?
I knew absolutely nothing about Sari.
Okay.
I looked up how old she was and what promotion she was from, and that was it. So I know she's 22 and that she's part of Pro Wrestling Diana, and that's it.
Yeah, bearing in mind I've been watching her for 4 years now.
Yeah, she's been wrestling for 6, apparently.
Yeah, I've been watching this. Oh, no, yeah, maybe longer. I've been watching her since she was a rookie. Because there was a big show in... Sendai Girls did a big show called Sendai Flash Tournament, which was in Currican Hall, and she wrestled in that. And that was 2013, so yeah, that'd be 6 years ago. That was their big show in Currican that year.
She would have been 16.
Yeah.
That's still mind-blowing to me. I know it's really normal in Japan, but... Well, yeah, when I think about what I was doing at 16.
Yeah. Well, you can't. That's the thing. It's like, you know, you can't leave school in this country till 18 now.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's, you know, it's like Millie McKenzie is legally supposed to be still in school. So how she's getting out of college to go do these things, I don't know.
Yeah, and also trying to convince my parents that it's a good idea to let myself get kicked to pieces by these really impressive women.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, it's insane, isn't
like,
it?
Really? Mom, I'm 14 and I want to have Meiko Satomura kick me in the face a couple of times. Is that okay? Yeah, sure. Have fun.
Well, there you go. Anyway, what do you think of the matchup?
Really, really enjoyed it. I thought Sari was really impressive. I think she's really cool. And that's as long as people are cool, I'm already convinced. She looked great. Hashimoto is just... so impressive. She looks impressive, she acts impressive, she wrestles impressive, but Sari wasn't backing down at all, and I think that was just it was a really good match, and I think they match well together as well, because Hashimoto can be the big mountain that Sari has to overcome. And I've never seen her wrestle, but after this I want to see more, because I really enjoyed her. And I think she's got a kind of charisma that's not overly there. She's not a Kenny Omega, you know, where he overacts sometimes.
Mm.
She's just cool in a way that some of the other women on this card were as well. Like Meiko Satomura is not an exaggerated kind of cool, but she is really cool.
Yeah, not so extroverted, just kind of there.
Yeah, she can tell a story without being too over the top.
Yeah, you need the presence. It's not the... You need the presence to make things work, really, don't you? And that's what she's got.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, Hashimoto is on fire as Sendai Girls Heavyweight Champion. You know, anyone who had any doubts about her being the number one person really needs to look very deep into themselves right now. But she was outstanding in this matchup. And she just carries everyone so well. I know she's coming over Pro Wrestling Eve this year. It'll be interesting to see what she does here. But she is such a big, strong presence. I think I've described her as... I hate doing comparison stuff again. But again, it's that Bruno Sammartino style I like. The fact that she's very solid and everything's very well put together. And she doesn't sell things she shouldn't do. And everything's correct and in the right place. That's the bit I like about her. You know, you don't get too many big people wrestlers like that in the women's division, because you know, you tend to get the Ajas and the Bull Nakanos and those kind of big people. But to have someone built, it's a bit like Jordan Grace is doing in Impact Wrestling at the moment. You know, she is a big, strong, well put together wrestler who knows how to wrestle really well.
Mm-hmm. And I also like that she is all those things, but she's still feminine and she's still a nice person. Like, wrestling likes to picture big people as monsters a lot.
Yeah.
Like, they're either monsters or they're like Ishii. Like, they do have emotions, but they don't emote and they're not really friendly.
Yeah.
And I've only seen a couple of matches, but she seems feminine and she seems nice and supportive. And I like that. I like that it's not just, I'm going to kill you with big people.
I mean, she's tag team champions with Iwata, and they have kind of like this sisterly kind of like conduct kind of deal. They're kind of like best friends, and they do everything together outside of the ring, and you see them stuff swapping pictures on Instagram and Twitter all the time. And that's the kind of thing you want, really, isn't it, from a big person? It doesn't have to be the big, scary Aja Kong deal all the time, does it?
And I like that about her.
Yeah. But yeah, she does. Yeah, those relationships are really important to try and soften that character and make her much more approachable. And she doesn't really need to try.
Because Mako is kind of intimidating.
Yeah.
Like, I know what she's like behind the scenes, but her character is full-on intimidation sometimes. Like, when she rushes out to help Millie, you can tell that she's not that person, but in kayfabe-wise, she's really tough and imposing, and the same can be said for like Aja Kong.
Yeah.
But someone like Hashimoto is way more, she's tough as nails, but she's also gentle.
Yeah.
In a way, and I like that contrast. I really like that.
I think that's the kind of like, and that's the reason why I mentioned Bruno, not necessarily because they have similar body shapes, as is like a downsized Bruno, and they kind of have similar offenses, like technical power. Also, the way she conducts herself, you know, Bruno always prided himself on conducting himself in a very mild-mannered, family-friendly way that was very encouraging, always like soft language, never screamed and shouted in promos, always talked directly, was very pleasant, because he knew that, like, that TV show is going into the homes of thousands of people in Pittsburgh and New York and all the places where he grew up, and he wants to represent himself as well as he can. But if you're the champion of the company, you don't need to scream and shout. You can do it softly and people will listen to you because you're an important person. So use that bully pulpit in a different way. You don't have to scream and shout all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that personality trait really shines through with Chihiro. Right then, that pretty much covers our Sendai Girls coverage for today. Did you enjoy the show overall?
I really, really enjoyed it, yeah.
Okay, I did too. And you can find it on Progressive Dream. It was the 6th January show from Shinjuku Face. There you go. Right, we're going to go on a bit of a roundup of New Japan news. The big news coming out of New Japan this week is the American tour, which is turning into a bit of a disaster.
Oh,
but
boy.
We hope it's going to be good. Essentially, what happened, according to New Japan Pro Wrestling, and we believe everything they say every time, obviously, is that the visas, because of the government shutdown in the United States of America, didn't get sorted in time. And as such, there will be no Japanese talent on the New Japan Pro Wrestling show, except for the possibility that people who are already in America working
and
on American businesses. And Oka, who is coming from Britain, but is Japanese.
I don't know how that works either.
Sorry, the great Okan. We have to say that now.
It's Oka.
Oka. Okay, then. The great Oka.
The great Oka.
The great Oka Khan. Him. Yeah, who's undefeated, by the way. Yeah. Christy, any thoughts on this monumental screw-up?
Oh, gosh. Like, people are really angry about this. And I can understand, because people want to see New Japan shows.
Yeah.
And not the foreign guys that are sometimes part of New Japan shows. So I can understand why it annoys them. On the other hand, if it's really due to America, then it's not...
America!
Trump. Then it's not New Japan's fault. But they probably should have sorted this ages ago.
You would have thought. But I suppose it becomes so routine that they do this so often now that they didn't think Hispanic could get thrown in the works as well.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what happens, because we've all done it at work where if you're doing something like over and over and over and over and over again, then somebody changed something and it's like, oh, can't do that. Yeah. So, yeah.
I can imagine why people are sad, though, because I can just imagining that I've got tickets for this show and I'm really excited and I can't wait to see all my favorite guys, especially for someone like me who has to make a real effort to go.
Yeah, yeah.
And who can't go regularly. If I was promised things and then it turned out it was all guys I barely see wrestle, like Juice Robinson is cool and some of the other New Japan foreigners who are there is really cool, but I'm not there to watch ROH guys.
No, that's it. You know, and I know they normally get ROH guys to help out, and that's fine. One or two matches is okay. The trouble comes when it is like, let's be blunt, people watch New Japan Pro Wrestling for Tanahashi, Okada, and Naito.
Yeah.
And that's the main draws. And I'm not saying the others are along for the ride. They aren't. They put in an incredible amount of work to make New Japan what it is. But I also think it's been a problem we've had for a while. How many of these shows that they've had in the US have actually been headlined by Japanese wrestlers? Okada and... I think it was Okada and Ishii headlined against the Golden Lovers on the last tour. That is the only one that's had a Japanese wrestler in the main event, I think. Am I wrong?
Yeah, and I don't know. I don't pay that much attention to cards in the US. But I do know that they like to put like one or two of the big Japanese guys on there, and then the rest is foreigners.
Yeah. And it
or
is like
a young lion. And I love me some Shota Umino, for example. But if I paid that much money for a card, I'd like a New Japan card. And not a one or two matches has a New Japan guy.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I just don't think they have enough faith in their Japanese draws. And it's like, all those people who bought tickets in Madison Square Gardens didn't get them to watch, you know, the Ring of Honor guys. As much as the Ring of Honor guys are cool and they do very well, they wanted to see Tanahashi and Okada have their debuts in MSG. Because fucking hell, why wouldn't you? Because that'll be awesome.
And if they're not careful, it becomes this self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
Where if you keep telling us that you're, one, not going to have any of these guys, then you keep telling us that they don't matter.
Yeah. And then
you don't trust them.
Yeah, that's it. And it becomes bad.
And people stop buying the tickets because it's not the people they want to be there.
No. And then they wonder why they stop drawing. You know. And there will be other tours later in the year. They'll be back on the West Coast, and I'm sure they'll do okay, but it might put a chink in that sellout armor they've had for the last 2 years. We will see. But this is the reason why bubbles burst, you know, and why growth stops. So they need to fix this, okay? But they'll get there. I'm sure I have. I have faith. If you want to find out my views on what New Japan's going to do this year, I essentially said nothing. Just keep doing what they're doing. Apart from this. This was horrible. But generally speaking, don't want to do what they're doing. Go find my article, which is on Steel Chair Magazine, courtesy of vulturehound.com.
Great plug. Well done.
Thank you very much. I tried to do what I could there. We need to record a trailer later. I'll talk to you that in a bit.
I'm sad that I don't have anything to plug.
New Japan Games.
Well, I did win that award.
Yeah, you did. You won an award.
We joked about that.
Yeah. You are the SJW kit account of the year.
It's awful, isn't it?
No, I think you are indeed a warrior, kind of.
I'm the social justice C of the year.
Yes. So you're Socius Justice Warrior of the Year.
Yes.
Maybe you should walk around like an Ultimate Warrior face paint with S and J on each cheek.
He doesn't deserve it.
Why? Who do you think is the Social Justice Account of the Year?
I don't know. it's silly.
But surely if we're all socialists, then it should all be all of us equally.
I really don't know. It just made me laugh.
All of us and Rovert not getting it.
I can't mention his name.
That's why I said him. Sorry for those of you who don't have Twitter. Ignore that part of the conversation. Anyway, moving on.
You'll get me in trouble.
I'll get you. Well, I won't get you in trouble. I'll get me in trouble. He doesn't really talk to me.
No,
anyway.
he'll hear it. And
he'll hear it.
He'll find out somehow and then blame me
he'll
for it.
He'll find me.
No. He will.
He'll be what? I'm sure he won't. I'm sure he doesn't care that much.
You say that now. I have receipts.
Okay, then. Well, let's move on then before I get you in any more trouble. New Japan Pro Wrestling and Fantastica Mania Tour. What were your thoughts on the tour then, Christy? What did you think was cool and what do you think was not so cool?
Okay, before I start, I'm going to say I am terrible at pronouncing names. I've learned to pronounce Japanese names by now, but I've never had to say Spanish names out loud. So I'm sorry if I mess up.
As I've talked to Alex Hernandez before about how to pronounce these names, I will do the pronunciations for you if you wish.
Yeah, I can sort of do most of them.
Okay.
But just in case I really mess up, I'm sorry.
All right. I've got the list here. We're looking at the last show, aren't we?
Yeah, at the last one. The first match, do you want to talk about the first match or just the entire tour first?
Let's have a roundup of the entire tour first.
Okay, so I always really enjoy these Fantastica Mania tours for several reasons. For one, the flips, like amazing flips 100% A+. Secondly, because the New Japan guys are always so excited, you can tell that this is not a holiday for them, but this is something different, and they can show something different and they can just have fun. And that makes me really happy. Nothing makes me happier than seeing a wrestler just relax and have fun while wrestling. And this entire tour is that way. I always enjoy seeing the likes of Dragon Lee and Mystico and the others. I think they're a lot of fun and I wish they could be in New Japan more. So this yearly tour is really fun for me, and I think they all did really well.
So the first
What about you? Have you seen anything?
All I've managed to see is gifts and stuff. I've had like hell week at home. We put our house on the market last Monday. I had a job interview the Thursday before that. So this tour has been, oh, that looks really cool, as I flick through Twitter. I must watch that in the morning. Oh crap, I have to go to work now at 6 o'clock and get things done. So it's been like that for the last 2 weeks. So having decided, I would definitely watch more Fantastica Mania. I have watched absolutely none of it, I have to be honest.
So you've missed all the crazy masked wrestlers.
Yeah, as I flicked through this card, it's all becoming clear to me now what I missed when I was looking on GIFs going,
Who is that? Some people were there that we didn't know. We hadn't seen before.
Indeed. And some of them are older as well.
Yeah, and some of them are trying to act like they're not usually part of the New Japan roster.
Yes.
Desperado. Desperado was in Mexico, supposedly.
Fair enough, then. So should we have a look at this last night?
Yeah, let's.
Do you want me to do the names?
You can try.
Okay, then. El Barbaro Carvalho and Templario defeated Odaz and Flyer in 9 minutes and 35 seconds in a 3.75-star match from your Meltzer there. 5.86 from the Cage Match users. I always find that interesting. Not Meltzer's ratings, because I don't know. Like, the difference between Meltzer's ratings and the Cage Match users, because they're usually, like, miles off from each other. But that one's actually quite close. Anywho, carry on.
I like Cavanaio a lot. I think he's always really charismatic. Even if you can't understand him or he can't understand the crowd, he's always having fun and people really, really like him. He was also here to show people what good hair looks like. I think Sanada should have a look. Maybe some other guys in New Japan.
Is he as good as the hair that was in Big Japan Pro Wrestling that we saw last week?
His is way better.
It
looks healthy. It looks like I could actually not run my hand through it maybe, but it looks healthy and good and I want to play with it. Whereas all the other hair, maybe not.
Okay, moving on.
Yeah. And then there's Flyer, who I'm really fond of. Because of a really silly reason. Last year, I was making GIFs of Fantastica Mania as well, And Flyer got really, really excited because I kept making gifts of Volador Jr., who's his uncle, I think.
Yes, they are all related.
Yeah. And then he followed that account, and then he followed my personal account.
Oh.
And he kept tweeting me really nice things. So I'm just really fond of him now. Like, he could be the worst wrestler, and I probably like him because I'm biased.
No.
But it looked like he had a great time, and he and some of the jumps in this match were really crazy.
Yeah.
Well, there was one moment where Cavanario was running at the ropes, and then he jumped on the second rope to then jump to the top rope to then jump outside. And it's things like that that give me anxiety. Please stop. I mean, they're great at it, and 9 times out of 10, it's going to go well, and you're going to be really impressed. But there's so much in these shows that also gave me, like, a fright. Like, please be careful.
Okay, then.
That was it for this match, really.
Okay. Well, the next matchup was Atlantis Jr. I'm not sure if he's related to the original Atlantis who also appeared on the show.
Supposedly his son.
So, yeah. You see, sometimes it's their son, sometimes it's their nephew or third cousin, and sometimes they just buy the rights to the name.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to tell sometimes. But they defeated Okamura, and when accompanying Okamura was Yamima Shimoda at the LCO, one of my all-time favorite wrestlers, who spent a lot of time in Mexico and in CMLL as well. Hence the reason why she was brought out to accompany Okamura. I'm guessing they had history back in Mexico. 7 minutes and 39 seconds. What did you think of this, Christy?
Not my favorite match.
I'm not surprised, because like Okamura is like 90.
Yeah, that's why.
Or 46.
I do like that once a year he gets to come out and have a hometown welcome, you know? And then he proceeds to be an absolutely asshole. Huge asshole.
Yeah.
The entire tour. Like, they're all really happy to see him, but he hates it. And he tries to make the crowd hate him because he's a heel, which is really funny to me. Like, they bring Okamura for a reason, but then they're like, you have to be an asshole.
Well, Shimoda's just the right person to be with him then, isn't she? I mean, like, Mima Shimoda, in an effort to get over as a bigger, badder heel, just went straight for Minami Toyota's eyes with a pair of scissors once. So,
as you do.
So, you know, she's right up there. I've seen her destroy people. They used to, the LCO had a pile driver through a table spot in every match they did, and Shimoda was the one doing the pile driver, and she didn't sit down with it. She'd nearly do the splits to make sure the head landed through the table. She's pretty evil.
That's just funny to me, to see Okamura so clearly excited to be there, but trying really hard not to show it. And then you've got Atlantis Jr., who's... I looked it up. Like, I was curious if he was really related to Atlantis. And apparently it's his son, but who knows if the online stuff is correct, because everyone lies.
Yeah.
Especially in Mexico.
Yeah.
In kayfabe-wise, like, I'm not saying that Mexicans are liars.
No. Only specific Mexicans who wear masks. Yes.
Yeah, about their relations to each other. He was good. Mm-hmm. I think he's really new, so he maybe needs a bit more confidence, but the match itself was fine.
Okay, then. Next up, we had Los Ignorables de Japón, Bushi, Shingo Takagi, and Tetsuya Naito, and El Terrible of the original...
Well done.
Los Ignorables in Mexico. Obviously not of Japan, because they're Mexican. They defeated Rapingi 3K, Satoshi Kojima, and Toa Henry in a Chaos Regular Army mix-up. Well, they didn't defeat them. They went to a no contest. What happened there with that one, Christy?
At the end? Do you want to jump to the end right away?
All right, you tell us the story of what happened to get there.
Okay. First of all, it's great to see Sho and Yo, because we haven't seen them all tour.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely weren't wrestling on the masks.
At all? No, probably not.
Absolutely not. No one was. Kojima's, I'm always happy to see him, and he had a good tour. I'm not sure if he wrestled every event. Maybe he did. Don't remember everything. And Naito with Alter Ribe is just hilarious to me. It's like, you're not Rush, but you'll do. I'll just pretend you are. It's really how he treats him. Like, he treats them very similarly, and it's just great because Naito is clearly having fun. He's having fun not being the center of attention.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to turn my page because I have more notes.
I knew you were going to have like 40 pages notes for this one.
Yeah, and before this part, I just pressed the mute button and then turned the page, but I'm like halfway through a story. So anyway, it's clear that Naito is having so much fun just messing with people and not being Naito. Like the main focus of everyone's attention.
He did this with Bush. He did this with Rush a lot when he did the Mexican tour, didn't he?
Yeah.
So he was kind of like hero worshipping Rush a fair bit.
Exactly. Like, you have to pay attention to him, not me.
Yeah.
And I like that because it just shows the kind of person Naito is. He also does it with LIJ, the rest of LIJ, especially when they have title matches or big matches coming up or whatever. And he's always, no, don't pay attention to me. Pay attention to, like, to juniors during the Super Junior. Or pay attention to Evil and Sonata during the Tag League. He always does that. And he did it this time as well. It's clear that to him, El Terrible is the main focus. And not Naito. And then he's just messing around and having fun and messing with the Spanish ring announcer. And I just enjoy that. Like I said before, I enjoy watching wrestlers have fun. And during this tour, Naito is having so much fun.
Fair enough.
At the end, it was kind of clear that it's going to be a Shoyo versus Bushi and Shingo feud, but Suzuki-Gun isn't all there. They're not all okay with that.
Right.
So they showed up, and Taichi showed up, and I'm sure you're really excited about this Naito-Taichi feud, aren't you?
Anyway.
That sounds like excitement.
Yeah. No, I'm not.
So at the end, what happened was Suzuki-Gun, El Desperado, who was suddenly there. He was supposed to be in Mexico, but whatever. And Kanemaru showed up with Taichi, and they attacked the rest of LIJ.
Right. Fair enough, then.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we move on to the next match, which was for the Mexican National Trios title. 4 3/4 stars from your Meltzer there. The national titles are purely... Well, actually, no. I should say this, actually. If I remember correctly, my Luchadorian folklore, the national titles are actually set by the sports governing bodies in Mexico. So they're actually national titles, and they belong to CMLL. They're only defended in CMLL. The other indie promotions aren't allowed to go near them. But they are actually sanctioned by the Mexican government via their sports panels, much in the same way like the athletics commission in the States. There's an athletic commission for wrestling in Mexico, because there actually is, because they're the ones that enforce that the wrestlers must wear their masks rule, or must relinquish their mask rule. Actually, you may not know this, but when Rey, now he works for WWE again, he will do house shows in Mexico without the mask, because he lost his mask to Kevin Nash years and years ago. So he does the TV tapings with the mask on, but he actually does house shows without the mask, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the ones that control the Mexican National Trios titles. This time it was the current champions, La Sangre Dinamita, El Cuatro Forastero, and Sansón. They defeated Angel de Oro, Atlantis, and Titan. Kind of a veterans team there. 14 minutes and 28 seconds. Atlantis has been wrestling since the dawn of time.
Yes.
He's turned Rudos and Technicos back 3 and 4 times. He also has a special outfit, because I think he's Rudos. I think he's Technicos at the minute. I'm not really sure.
He was in the Technicos team.
Yes, when he wrestles as a Technicos, he wears blue and silver. And when he wrestles as a Rudos, he wears black and red with silver trim. And sometimes he'll wear, if he's doing a big tournament, there's a tag team tournament in CMLL where you kind of like pick tag teams by draws, and if he gets picked with a babyface partner, a Technicos partner. He wears either his Technicos gear or split gear with red and black on one side and blue and silver on the other.
Mm, yeah, it was clearly a face here.
Okay, then. Maybe you've gone back to the Technicos side for a bit.
Or maybe it's just because he's in Japan. Possibly. And people like him there.
Oh, yeah, that's the other thing as well. Yeah, if he wrestles in Japan, he has a tendency to be a Technico because he's really popular there.
Yeah.
So there you go. But, yeah, so carry on.
This match was funny to me. It was a title match, but when I looked at this, I'm like, no one is going to expect the title to change here. We're in Japan. Second, I don't watch CMLL regularly, but I've never seen this team of Angel de Oro, Atlantis, and Titan. They're clearly not a trios team, so it makes no sense to put the belt on them. So it was one of those, we're abroad and we're going to give them a title matches, which I always find really amusing.
Well, to like, me, I was going to say, Shinsuke Nakamura did win the Intercontinental title on a Fantastic Mania tour.
From?
La Sombra, who beat him for it in Mexico
City.
Yeah,
but that makes sense then.
Okay.
This is an inter-promotion thing. Like, it's a CMLL promotion match.
Yeah.
So why would you have that change hands on a Japan show to a team who's not really a team?
Yeah, I suppose so. I suppose.
And the other team is quite clearly an established team of heels who really work well together. As for the match, I really enjoyed this match. I think it was great. On the one side, you've got the heels who are a really great team. They work really well together. It's so obvious that they have a lot of chemistry and a lot of experience working together. And on the other hand, you've got the faces who are really popular with the crowd. I did like Angel de Oro, who keeps doing his mask reveal surprise. Like, he's lost his mask like a year ago. It's been almost a year of him wrestling without his mask, and he keeps coming out with it on. And then he does the surprise, I'm handsome thing when he takes the mask off. And that's just, it makes me laugh so hard. Like, we know you're handsome by now. We've seen it. You've not only lost your mask like a year ago, but you've also wrestled several shows in Japan this tour without your mask. And he still does it.
Well, you know, it's his gimmick now. He kind of has to. He may be doing this in 10 years'
time.
They
all do it. Volador Jr. did it last year as well. Well, and he wrestled the year before on the Fantastica Mania tour without a mask.
Maybe it's the thing they're working on together. I don't know.
It's funny to me. Like, he knows he's handsome, and he's like, I'm going to get a pop by removing my mask. And then he also does the upside down, no hands flip into the ropes thing, which I find terrifying. Because one day he's going to land square on his head.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen him do that?
Yeah, I have. I've seen many people do similar things.
It's really scary.
Yeah.
And he needs to stop.
Oh.
For my sanity.
Oh. But what are you happy with the matches all together?
Yeah. It was really, really fun.
Cool.
And Atlantis is maybe not the youngest, but he knows how to.
Oh yeah.
How to work a match, and he was basically taking on three of them at once at one point.
Oh, he's got another 10 years left. Yeah. What is he? How old is he now? Hang on, let's have a look. Yeah, let's see. How old is he? He was born in. He debuted in 1983, so he's been going for 36 years now.
Okay.
He's been literally wrestling.
So he
for
debuted
over
before
half his
I was
life.
Born.
He debuted before you were born. And he was born in 1962, so he was 12 when I was born. He's been wrestling nearly as long as I've been alive. There you go.
Wow.
Okay. But yeah, anyway, let's move on to the next matchup, which was Les Guerreras Leguanas, Gran Guerrero, Ultima Guerrero, and Namajiji. They defeated
Namajiji.
They defeated Dragon Lee, El Soberano Jr., and Mystico in 13 minutes and 25 seconds.
Yes. This was absolutely not Desperado in a mask.
Okay, then.
It was definitely Desperado in a mask.
But he wears a mask anyway.
Yeah. It's his old gimmick from CMLL. And it keeps saying how funny this is to me, but this is also really funny because it's clearly him. Like, I am a big Desperado fan, so like just seeing a part of his body makes it obvious to me that it's him, because I watch a lot of matches he's in. Like, this is your chest, this is those are your thighs, like I can recognize him. But then he also acts like Desperado in the ring. He does right. The same
like, moveset.
Sorry?
Moveset and body language kind of thing?
Same body language, yes. Yeah. The only difference is the outfit and the ring entrance. He doesn't do the splits. He runs around and he high-fives people. He's quite clearly having a lot of fun under this mask. But then when he's wrestling, he does the same little tricks and the same moves and the same everything. It's quite clearly Desperado, but he's trying so hard not to make it seem like he's Desperado in the ring things. And he's tweeting out stuff like, I'm in Mexico. When we can all see he's not in Mexico.
he leaves the GPS location on his Twitter feed. That would be amazing.
I'm sure you could find out that he's in Japan. And there was this moment where someone posted a picture with him on Twitter. And we were like, no, he's supposed to be in Mexico. And then like 2 hours later, Desperado posted on his Twitter, I've just gone home to Japan. Hi, I'm back. It's so silly. And he had this temporary tattoo on his arm, which was quite clearly temporary because he hadn't had it in the first couple of shows. So either he'd gotten it the day before and it was surprisingly clear and not red and taped up, or it was a fake tattoo, which it quite clearly was.
Fair enough.
And he was clearly focused on Dragon Lee, which I'm really excited about, because ooh, more Desperado versus Dragon Lee is always a good thing.
Indeed it is.
And I'm also really curious if they're going to keep doing this gimmick with him, because I remember during the Best of Super Juniors that Dragon Lee and Desperado had this feud going, and Dragon Lee called him his new rival. And then they talked about a mask versus mask match.
Yeah.
And this may be a way for them to have that match.
Yeah, without losing any masks.
Any serious masks.
True.
That matter.
Mm.
And he was wearing red. And during the rest of the tour, while he wasn't wrestling Dragon Lee, I think he was wearing white hair.
Right.
But then this match against Dragon Lee, he was wearing red hair on his mask. And is that a reference to a certain Hiromu?
Definitely. I would have thought
so. And they were also slapping each other on the chest. And during that, Milano kept mentioning Hiromu and saying, moto, moto. that kind of thing Hiromu always says.
Fair enough.
So, is this going somewhere that involves Hiromu? I hope so.
We can hope. Definitely. Hiromu needs something to come back to. Right, the next match was Sweet Gorilla Maruyama, Dragon George. They defeated Ginbei Mask and Gokiboru Mask. I believe these are four people from the CMLL Training Academy, are they not?
Sorry, the Dragon George thing?
Yes.
No.
I was trying to carry the joke on, but you're not...
Am I supposed to play kayfabe now?
Yes, I was kayfabing it, but you didn't go with me.
I'm sorry.
All right, then. It was Togi Makabe and Kazuchika Okada, and they defeated Raisuke Taguchi and Hiroshi Tanahashi in 30 minutes and 5 seconds, because these goofballs needed something else to do.
Yeah. The first thing I've got written down is, I wish I drank alcohol, because this would have been perfect for that. No, oh, this match. If you're not watching anything and you want to have a good laugh, watch this. Just this match. Because it was the silliest thing I've seen in months. And I watch a lot of Japanese wrestling. So take that for what you want. Just watching Tanahashi come out with this silly mask on his face, crawling across the ring, like not like belly to the canvas crawling, like a real cockroach, and just the crowd going crazy, and the crowd really getting into it in a kayfabe way. Like, it was clear that these were Taguchi and Tanahashi, who are big crowd favorites, but the crowd was booing them with all they could because they were into the story and they were playing along. And I just love that so much. I love that about wrestling, when crowds ignore that they really like this wrestler and just go on with the kayfabe thing that they're supposed to do. They're supposed to boo these heels. So they're booing these heels. And the commentary team was booing them, and Milano was really angry. He was alternating between booing Tanahashi and Taguchi and giggling at them. And it was just amazing. And then Okada looked really, really good. I'm trying not to be too shallow, but he looked amazing. Really handsome. He had long pants on, though. So that's a minus. Don't laugh at me.
I'm not laughing at you. It's just the long pants thing. It's just, I was like going back to Wrestle Kingdom, and the Farley shared a video of this club where they're watching it, and it's just like the place erupts when Okada
takes
World his
Cup
pants
reaction,
off.
Yeah,
just like, he's wearing shorts. Oh my god, he's wearing shorts!
Everyone's
Shit's
celebrating.
On. Yeah.
Oh, and the crowd was telling the Tanahashi to go away, like, you know, the Tai Chi go away thing. They were yelling that at Tanahashi, and he was clearly so amused, but he was trying to hide it. And Taguchi did a magic trick.
Oh, God.
he really did. He had something in his hand that had turned into a flower, and Makabe's face was just like, why? What is this? What am I doing with my life? And it's just, it was hilarious. And I'm just so happy to have seen it.
Awesome. Well, there you go. The main event, then. We best talk about that. Volador Jr. defeats Karistico in 17 minutes and 55 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Sally, this is the one match I didn't get to see.
Okay, we can't talk about that then. Moving on.
Sorry.
All right then. We'll wrap up this way then about the show, about Fantastica Mania. What's the fun stuff about Fantastica Mania, and why did New Japan keep doing it?
Everything is fun about Fantastica Mania. It's just, like I said, the wrestlers are having fun.
Yeah.
They're wearing masks and interacting with people they don't normally get to interact with. It's not so serious. There's no, you have to have a 5-star match or this tour is a waste. There is no killing each other with chair shots or whatever. It's just having fun. It's introducing a crowd to new people who they might not know. It's bringing back some of the crowd favorites like Dragon Lee and Mystico and all those guys. It's amazing aerial moves that you don't always get to see in New Japan. Not as frequently, at least, because a lot of the heavyweights won't do those kind of moves. It's just inventive stuff with wrestlers who are having fun. Lots of funny comedy matches that are designed to introduce you to a new group of people. And it's just a lot of fun for the wrestlers as well as the audience.
Well, there you go. You should go check out New Japan World. If you would like to find out more about Fantastica Mania, you should check out Presso Dream if you want to find out more about Sendai Girls. Or you should check out Our Time Feed for all the things that we've covered in pro wrestling in the last 4 years. Over 130 episodes now of professional wrestling listening to find out stuff about. Go back and listen to our old reviews of New Japan shows. Go back and listen to our Beginner's Guide to Professional Wrestling, which we will get back to sooner or later, but we keep finding cool wrestling shows to watch, like the Sendai Girls show today. You can follow our friends all the way through our Twitter feeds. If you can look through our Twitter feeds, you'll find them. And I would like to thank, you can find Christy at NJPW GIFs and at Wrestling Sexism, as well as a regular personal Twitter account at SmarkInfested. Thank you for your time today, Mom.
You're so welcome. This was a lot of fun as usual.
Thank you very much. It was a lot of fun listening to you too. You can find me at Sheriff Lone Star. You can find the show at Troopany Show on Twitter and find us on Facebook, The Troopany Show. If you'd like to keep The Troopany Show free forever for everyone, then you can do that at patreon.com. You can find us there, Troopany Show. You can also listen to Mike Freeland's Wrestling Rewind, and that'll be out Wednesday or Thursday this midweek. Oh, they'll be looking at wrestling from North America. Not sure who the guest is this week. Big fun chat last week with Dara about where WWE is going in the wake of the John Cena. Is he getting to the end of his career kind of deal? And what's the looking forward? They were looking forward to the Royal Rumble. I think probably a few more Royal Rumble predictions going on this weekend, as that is tomorrow night. For us, the next big card that we'll be looking at will be the New Beginning show in February from New Japan Pro Wrestling. But next week we might have a look at something different and keep surprising you, because we keep looking at different and new stuff this year. That is our motto: be different, do new. And hopefully we'll speak to you then. Thank you for your time once again, Christy.
You're welcome. Bye bye, guys.
Take care, and we'll see you next week. Bye.